get started. Today's sugya, we said we're going to discuss the issue of lefties and half lefties wearing tefillin and how we determine which arm tefillin is placed on. It only gets confusing because of the language that we use when discussing this. Because Chazal didn't really always use the term right and left the way we use the term right and left, rather they would refer to very often as Yad, Yumin Shalom, Shehu Smol Kaladam, or things like that. That's what makes it confusing. Wait, are we talking right or are we talking left? We always think of right is in terms of Ruchas Ha'olam, so to speak, that it's sort of a set thing, and there's the stronger hand and the weaker hand. So if we just use consistent language through our discussion, it may be a little bit easier to navigate through the sugya. But first, let's just read the Gemara together and try to see what emerges from the Gemara itself. Tan Rabbanan, the bottom line of the Vavan Beis. Tan Rabbanan, we have a Braisa. The Braisa darshins the Pasuk by Tefillin, where the Pasuk says, V'hoi l'cha la'os al yadcha, yadcha zu smol. That whenever the Torah uses the word yadcha, it must be a reference to your left hand, because that's what a yad is. Says, well, really? A yad is a left hand? Ata omer smol? Oh, in el yamin. Maybe yad means a right hand. No, Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, af yodi yasta aretz, v'yamini tipcha shamayim. That yodi established the aretz, but yamini took care of the shamayim. So it sounds like the opposite of the yamin is the regular yad. What's the regular yad? That must be the left hand. V'omer, and there's a pasuk in Shiras Devora in Sefer Shoftim, Yada liyaseid tishlachna v'yamina lahamus amelim. That again, the contrast between the yad, who's it describing? Liyaseid tishlachna, who took the yateid? Ya'el, Yishas Chevar Keni, that she took the atate of the tent. So she the yad versus the yamin. The yad must be the left hand. V'omer, and there's pasuk in Tehillim. Lama sashiv yadcha v'yamincha mikerev chekecha chalei. When the pasuk says yad again, referring to the left hand in all three of these psukim, clearly the yamin is contrasted with a yad, so yad must mean left hand. So when the Torah tells us in the parsha of Tefillin v'hayi l'chala os al yadcha, it must mean that it's supposed to be on your left hand. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosi HaChoreim Omer. Parenthetically, why is he called HaChoreim? What does HaChoreim mean? Says Rashi, Chotmo Meshuka, because he had a crooked nose. And Choreim was a reference to his physical characteristic, that they would call him by that. That engenders a whole discussion in the Poskim about whether you're allowed to do that. Meaning the Gemara in Bava Metzia talks about how terrible it is to be Mechan Hashem L'Chaveru, to call someone by a nickname. One would imagine that if you call him by a nickname that draws attention to a less than flattering physical feature, that would be a particularly vicious kind of bullying that would certainly not be accepted here in Camp Keli, and we're surprised that Chazal would allow for such things. So some of the Achronim suggest, no, it was descriptive. It wasn't, it's like saying, he's the tall guy, he's the short guy. It's not nothing negative about it. Rabbi Daniel Feldman, in one of his books, I think in The Right and the Good, he has an essay about nicknames, and he quotes from one of the Achronim who was asked a Shaila about using a nickname where there were two guys in Shul named Chaim. One of them was short, one of them was tall, and they wanted to know, are they allowed to call the tall one Chaim Aruchin as a nickname? It's pretty clever. But so there's discussion whether this was just a physical description or was meant as some type of insult, whatever. Anyway, Rabbi Yossi Achorim Omer, Matzinu Yamin Shenikri Yad. Shnemar Vayar Yosef Ki Yashav Yad Yamino, that Yosef saw that Yaakov put Yad Yamino on the wrong kid. Right, so you see, the yad is the yamin, is the right hand, and he put it on Ephraim and not on Menashe. So the Gemara says, "V'idach." What's the Tanakama going to say? Tanakama says that yad means left. Yad yamino ikri, yad stama lo ikri. You'll find that the right hand is called, it is a yad, but it will always be with the qualifier of being a yad yamin and not being a yad stam. So that is shita number one. Shita number one in the Gemara, how do we determine which arm gets the tefillin shel yad, because the Torah says you put it on yadcha, and yadcha always means, in Tanakh, it always means the left hand. So that's it, it's the left, period. Shita number two, Rabbi Nassan Omer, eino tzarech, you don't have to bring raya from yadcha always being left, because harayu omer ukshartem muchsavtem. The pasuk says that you should tie the tefillin and write the tefillin. So we see the two are bound together. Maksiva biyamin, just like writing is done with the right hand. Av kshira biyamin, tying is also done with the right hand. Vekivin de kshira biyamin, hanacha b'smalhi. So obviously, if the tying of the tefillin is being done with your right hand, it would be impossible to use the same hand that you're tying it with to put it on that same arm. You'd have to reach over to the other arm. So it must be that you're placing it on your left arm because you're doing the kshira with your right arm. So that is shita number two. Shita number one was, again, yadcha has to be the left. It's always the left. Shita number two is, it's not always the left. It is the non-writing hand. Whichever hand you don't write with, that's the hand you put tefillin on. That is shita number two. The Gemara just points out Rabbi Yossi Achoreim, who says that both right and left could both be called yad. Hanochet the small minale. Where does he know it from? So nafkele minhechet the nafkele. Rabbi Nassim, he must hold like Rabbi Nassim that it all depends on kshira, that it's the non-writing hand. But then there is shita number three. Rav Ashi Amar Yadcha ksiv with a hey. The way the Torah spells Vahaya Laos al Yadcha, it spells it with a hey. There's an extra hey at the end of the letter. So since there's an extra word letter at the end of the word, we darshin that it's keha, that it's yad keha, that it's the weaker of the two hands. So shita number three, nothing to do with writing, nothing to do with objectively defining what a yad is. The extra hey tells you, put it on the weaker hand. So Rabbi Abel Ravashi ve'ema yadcha shebakoach, maybe it means the stronger hand. It doesn't say an extra ches, it says an extra hey. The extra hey is yad keha. So the Gemara quotes kitanayim, this is in fact a machlokas tanayim, fine. Then it quotes another brisa, Mishein lo zro patr min ha-tefillin, achir momim yadcha l'rabos ha-sagidein, machlokes whether someone who's missing an arm puts on tefillin. And then another brisa, which is very relevant. Tad rabban iter, someone who is a lefty, maniach tefillin biyamino shu smolo. So there's the first confusing phrase you got. He puts on tefillin on his right, which is his left. So, which means the arm that is on the right side of his body, which is his weaker hand. I thought he's supposed to put on his left hand. When the Brisa says he puts it on his left hand, that's if he's ambidextrous. If he's ambidextrous, he should put it on his left hand. But if he's really a lefty, then he should put it on his right hand. Good. That's the Gemara. So what emerges from this Gemara, like we said, three basic shitos. Tanakama, yadcha means the left hand. It happens to be, if you look in Beis Yosef, it's Simon Chav Zayin, which of the three drushas does the Beis Yosef quote? He only quotes one of the three, and it's the Tanakama, that you just put it on the left. They just stick with the left. He mentions Rabbi Nassan, but he doesn't say what his drasha was. He just points out, oh yeah, Rabbi Nassan has another drasha, and he doesn't even mention Ravashi. Which is very odd. You know, the Beis Yosef, you'd expect, especially since there are going to be nafkaminas la'alacha, you'd expect that he'd flesh out the entire sugya. And that's the way the Beis Yosef normally works. He fleshes out the sugya and says, okay, if you say like this opinion and that, this opinion and that, this is the way the Rishonim break down. He didn't really do that over here. So that's the Shita of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Nassan, like we said, Yad Keha. The Levush brings Rabbi Nassan's drasha. The Magen Avraham says in Chav Zayin, Sivkot and Gimel, that we pass like Rabbi Nassan, that it's Yad Keha. So it's fascinating. You have the Beis Yosef doesn't even quote what Rabbi Nassan's drasha is. Magen Avraham says, yeah, that's how we pass like Rabbi Nassan, that it's Yad Keha, whatever is the weaker hand. I found it very interesting that in the Shirei Hagrid, in Rav Salvechik Shirim, in a footnote, it says that this is not, what? Oh, Rabbi Ashi's Yad Keha? Did I say it backwards? Rabbi Nassan is a Kshartim Uchsaftim. You're right. Yeah, Rabbi Nassan is a Kshartim Uchsaftim. Yeah, I guess it's a typo in my notes. Okay. Rashi is Yad Keya and Aminasim. Right. Gotta flip him around. Anyway, so I found it interesting that in the Shurei HaGrid, in Simon Vav, in the footnote, he says that this is not the only drasha that we have where an extra hay implies a weakening of what we're otherwise describing. That Yodcha, we say, is Yad Keya, the weakening of the Yad. He says we find it one other place, not in Chazal, but in the Rambam. Not in Mishneh Torah, but in Mor Nevuchim. That the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, Chel Gimel Perek Nun Gimel, discusses the difference between three related concepts. Concept of Chesed, Mishpat, and Tzedakah. He says, Chesed and Mishpat are opposites of each other almost. Mishpat means justice. What you deserve, you get. What you don't deserve, you don't get. Right? That's justice. Chesed is the opposite of that. Chesed is, even though you don't deserve it, I'll give it to you anyway, because I'm going to do a chesed with you. So says the Rambam, what does tzedakah mean? Where does tzedakah fit in on that continuum between chesed and mishpat? Is tzedakah just another form of chesed? It sounds like it's a third concept. So the Rambam writes, Milas tzedakah hi nigzeres min tzedek. Tzedakah comes from tzedek. What's tzedek? Yeah, what's right. So what's right is more mishpat than chesed. Right? It's what you deserve. Upirusha lahavi l'chol bal zchus es hamagia lo. To make sure that everyone gets what they rightfully deserve. Kefi hara'ui lo. And therefore he says, when one gives tzedakah, we don't refer to. He says when you're ulfia inyan rishon lo yikru b'sifrei hanaviim hazuchuyos hamutalos alecha lezulascha im nasatam tzedaka l'fishim shilamta l'sachir eschara o pratachovcha insa nikra tzedaka. When you pay a loan, when you pay your workers, that's not tzedaka. That is mishpat. That's what they actually deserve. But that which you rightfully should be giving if you are a good person. Meaning, it's not pure chesed. It's not something that a person doesn't deserve. That which the person deserves, mitzad midos hatovos, kigon lekomim kol koshel, hareza nikre tzedakah. That's why by returning a mashkon, it says, ulcha tia tzedakah. When you return a mashkon. Why? Is that chesed? It's not entirely chesed because it belongs to the person that you're giving it to. So you can't really call that chesed. It's not exactly mishpat either because you don't really have to return it. You know, in mishpat, you shouldn't really have to return it if he hasn't yet paid back the loan. But if he needs the mashkon to use now, right, the halacha of giving back a mashkon is if someone gave you their pajamas as a mashkon, so you should give it back every night so that they could use it. So that's why the Torah says, yeah, that's tzedakah. So Soloveitchik points out, why is that tzedakah? Tzedakah is, it's like, it's mishpat in a sort of a weaker form. It's like in this weaker form of mishpat. So he says, yeah, it's tzedek with a hey, tzedek keha. It's a weaker type of tzedek, similar drasha to Yad Keya. Thought that was an interesting. So the Rambam says that description of tzedek. So the Rav, I think, took that to the tzedek Keya, that's where it came from. That it's from the word tzedek, but it's not exactly the word tzedek. And then we had I'm going out of order here. Rabbi Nassim said Ukshartem Uchsavtem, that the tefillin is on the non-writing hand. The Taz quotes that limud. Now, in terms of how you define writing, there's a lot of discussion on every detail in the sugya. But in terms of how to define writing, there's, for example, a tshuva in the Chesed Avram who's asked about someone who writes Hebrew with his left hand and he writes Russian with his right hand. So which is his writing hand? So on the one hand, you'd say what? Ukshartim uchsavtem. What's uchsavtem referring to? Writing the parshas of the tefillin, so it's writing Hebrew. So we should say, only look at how he writes Hebrew. On the other end, is it really about writing Hebrew, or is it just, you know, about which hand is really the more capable of the, or in this case, the less capable of the two hands? So the Chesed Avram says, no, it all goes based on Hebrew. We don't follow how you write Russian, we follow how you write Hebrew. Kshartam uchsavtam. Uchsavtam means that you're writing Ksav Ashuris. The Chesed Avram. In the Rav Ari Tzvi Firmer, in his tshuvas, in the Eretz Tzvi, Simenayin Ches, so it also has a similar case, except it's Polish instead of Russian, because he's from Poland and not from Russia, but also had a case where a guy wrote Hebrew with one hand and Polish with another hand, and he says, it has nothing to do with Lashon HaKodesh Dafka, it's just about which hand you write with. So if you're able to write with both, like they say about Reb Chaim Ezer, you know, they say Reb Chaim Ezer used to write with both hands at the same time, two different things. Like he'd write two different pieces of Torah. I don't know, it can't possibly be true, because that's really not human. That's not humanly possible, but they don't say it about me and you, right? So, but if a person's able to write two different languages, two different hands, he says you would just put the tefillin on the left hand, because you couldn't determine based on Kshiruk, even in that case, because it's the same as being ambidextrous. In Bir Alacha, in Simul Chav Zayin Sivav, in Dibur Vaskal Yesh Omrim, he talks about a person who can't write a Ksav Gomor, but he makes pictures. He doesn't know, he's illiterate, but he knows how to make pictures. So is that considered Ksav when it comes to determining tefillin? And he says, in that case, better to be Somech on Shita Sagra. What's Shita Sagra? We'll have to wait. We'll get there soon. We'll get there in a moment. Lumaisa, what emerges from the sugya? We had our three shitos. We had the Tanakama. We had Rabbi Nassim with the Kshartim Mechsatim. We had Ravashi, I got it right this time, right? Vayilo Sal Yadcha with the Yad Keha. So we had our three shitos. What emerges the halacha is, if a guy is a total lefty, Dover Pashut, that what do you do? Complete lefty, it's very clear in the Gemara, it puts his tefillin on his right hand. Which is interesting that the Gemara takes that as Dover Pashut, because Luchora, it's not so Pashut. If you assume Yad Keha, of course, it's Pashut that his right hand is his weak hand. If you assume Kshartim Chsavtim, yeah, Davar Pashut, he writes with his left hand, so he's going to put the tefillin on his right hand. But if you assume Yadcha just means left, so then the lefty should also put on his left hand. Right? But the Gemara is clear what we assume La'alacha, that a lefty puts on his right hand, which is his weaker hand. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins, and that's clear. Rav Shlomo Zalman already discusses in Mincha Shlomo Chelek Beis, I think I put in the Mar Makomos over here, whether there's such a thing, yeah, source number five, whether there's such a thing as like a half a lefty, where a guy from the fingers on down is more comfortable with his left hand, but from the palm and up is more comfortable with his right hand. So at first I thought it was like, wow, that sounds interesting. Now, we normally discuss you do certain things with the left, certain things with the right. He's talking about that, you know, you could divide your hand physically as being, but then I realized that all he's saying is that things that require dexterity, you do with one hand, and things that require power, you do with the other hand. So what he's really describing is what we're going to get to today, someone who writes with one hand and throws a ball with the other hand, right? Isn't that what he's describing? Because fingers just means you need the dexterity, like what an occupational therapist would work on, and the arm would be what a physical therapist would work on. I think that's all he's really describing. So at first I was very intrigued, but then I didn't really understand what he was really adding. So again, point number one emerges from the Gemara: a lefty puts his film on his right hand. Point number two, Mishabura, well, this doesn't emerge from the Gemara necessarily, but is a discussion of the poskim. Mishabur and Sivkan Chafalif takes as Davar Pashut that if a guy was born a righty and turned into a lefty, he has the din of a lefty. That's called a lefty. That's not so Pashut. There are at least four opinions in poskim about changing from one to the other. It used to be, if a person was born a lefty, people viewed it as a chisaron, and they would try to change them. They would try to change them into a righty. And then at some point, that was termed to be abuse, to try to change the kid. So people stopped doing that. And then, you know, people who had hopes and dreams of their kids playing Major League Baseball tried to teach them to become lefties. There are even a few Mishugam who taught their kids to try to be ambidextrous so that they could pitch to a right-handed batter or a left-handed batter and create a stalemate with a switch hitter that they had to rewrite the rules for, Right? So what happens if a person tries to train himself to use a different hand? Does that work in terms of changing his status, in terms of tefillin? So the Mordechai writes that a lefty means someone who's born a lefty. Someone who teaches himself to be a lefty is still called a righty. Meaning if he was born a righty and he trained himself to be a lefty, the Mordechai writes he's still called a righty. But then he quotes other Rishonim, the Mordechai himself quotes other Rishonim, that no, you could change, that it could change from one day to the next, and now from one year to the next, you know, if you trained yourself so that you are what you are today, you're not what you were born. It's not objective, yeah. Right, meaning would there be a difference in one direction or the other? So that there are shittos like that. Mordechai doesn't distinguish. He just says that you can't change, and then he quotes other Rishonim and say you can change. A third shita, Daglam Ravava, on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, writes that even if you hold that you can't change, that's only from righty to lefty. I'm sorry, no. That's not Daglam Ravava. That's not. Daglam Ravava says, even if you hold you can't change, that's only if it was a conscious decision that you tried to change. But if something happened that forced a change, suffered some sort of accident where the stronger hand no longer had the power and the dexterity it used to have, so you had to start writing with your other hand, then you can change. So that's a third sheet, a Dagum Ravav. Rav Shlomo Kluger in Ha'elef L'Chashlomo was a tshuva sefer that Rav Shlomo Kluger didn't exactly write. Rav Shlomo Kluger wrote very, very long tshuvas, and someone decided that no one's going to learn Rav Shlomo Kluger's tshuvas if you have to read the whole thing. So they took 1,000 of Rav Shlomo Kluger's tshuvas and they summarized them, and they put out a book called Ha'elef L'Chashlomo. And that's why almost every time you see Rav Shlomo Kluger quoted, it's from the sefer Ha'elef L'Chashlomo, because those are the shorter, easier tshuvas. So it's like, if you're going to read a tshuva from Rav Avadia Yosef, chances are you're going to read one from Yechaveh Das, not from Yabia Omer, because they're shorter and easier. So Rav Shlomo Kluger, just a moment, Rav Shlomo Kluger writes that even if you hold that changing doesn't work, that's only changing from righty to lefty, because you're changing, you're downgrading yourself, so to speak. But if you change from lefty to righty, that does work. Okay, so whatever it is, a lefty, Medina de Gemara, is clear, puts on his right hand, and there's at least 4 opinions about whether a person could change into a lefty, out of a lefty, whether that's something that's doable.
In terms of this before, yeah, you said about
your it wasn't
conscious decision to
switch. Yeah, the Nadvido, Dagum
Ravavu. Would that be similar to losing a lung?
Probably. Right?
Or is he talking about like a natural shift?
No, he seems to be describing an accident, like something happened. Nolad l'choli b'yamino, v'nital mimenu akoach. Not a gidim though. I think he's saying that you still have the other arm, and it just weakens. You're getting into a suffix.
Like the exact date, like you switch, because like on that day you switch, like if exactly when you switch.
Right. You're not going to be able to see tefillin. You say a bracha
levatella.
Yeah, not good. It's we much prefer certainty in Judaism. We'd much rather know if you're a righty or a lefty. Yeah. That's sort of this machlokas, right? You go left if you're ambidextrous. Yeah. In fact, right, that's what the Gemara says in Lamed Zayin Amar Aleph, someone shalit b'shtei yadav is meniach b'smola. That's what we just read in the Gemara. Why would that be? Why would that be the case that if he shalit b'shtei yadav, he puts on his left hand? If he's totally ambidextrous, he can write with both hands, he has koach in both hands, why do you put on the left? What would the svara be? Well, we have 3 drashas. Kshartim uchsaftim doesn't give you any preference. So it doesn't give him any direction. Yad Keya doesn't give him any direction. It doesn't have a Yad Keya. So you go with the first. You go with the Tanakama. That Yad, by definition, is small. So that's it. So you go with the left hand. So that's probably why. That's what the Levush explains in Simchat Zayin also. That's probably why an ambidextrous person puts on his left hand. Also, the post can point out that if it's even just a little bit easier for you to do one than the other, like you're a little bit more, you're pretty good with your left hand, but you're better with your right hand, then you're a righty. If you're pretty good with your right hand, but you're better with your left hand, then you're a lefty. Where it gets confusing, and by the way, there might be a fourth drasha. I forgot to mention this before. There might be a fourth drasha. The sugya we just read only had three drashas. But if you go further to Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara sounds like it's quoting what might in fact be a fourth drasha. And the Mordechai quotes this like as if it's part of the sugya. And that is, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Harei Omer v'samtem esvar yela alevavchem k'shartem, Shetei sima k'neged alev. That when you put your tefillin on, your tefillin shaliyad should be k'neged alev. Well, k'neged alev shouldn't really depend on whether you're righty or lefty at all. It's just k'neged alev. Which would sound like it conforms with the first shita, right? That it's always the left. Because that's k'neged alev. Unless you have a person who's messed up inside and his heart is on the wrong side. There's actually a tshuva about this in the Kozhik Lover, I think, has a tshuva about this, about a person, the Eretz Tzvi, Chelek Aleph, Simukuf Tezvav, about a person who wasn't feeling well. He went to the doctor, and the doctor listened for a heartbeat and discovered that he was dead, and he said, oh my God, you're dead, you don't have a heartbeat. Then he moved over the thing, and he said, oh no, your heart's just not there, it's there. So they wanted to know, should he be putting tefillin on the other hand? Now, we generally assume there are three deos in the Gemara, not four deos in the Gemara, and that's not part of the Yikra Sugya, and therefore we're not going to even consider it. Now, the primary halachic discussion is what I mentioned before, is a person who writes with one hand and does everything else with the other hand. And l'chora, that's a nafgamina between the shitos. That if you assume yad keha, so keha is about strength and weakness, that you put tefillin on the weaker hand. So let's say you have like my son writes with his left hand and does everything else with his right hand. So if you assume yad keha, so his weaker hand is his left hand because he doesn't throw a ball with his left hand, he throws a ball with his right hand. But if you assume kshartem uchsavtem, his non-writing hand is his right hand. So which way do you go? Tosfos is the first one to raise the suffix. Tosfos Menachos Lamed Zayin. Someone who's kosev biyamin, he does it the opposite of what my son does. Someone who does raises if he writes with his right hand and he does everything else with his left hand. Shulchan Aruch, Simen Chav Zayin Siv Vav. V'iter yad yamino im osa kol malachto b'smolo. Maniach b'smolo shiyamin kol adam. Im shol b'shayadam maniach b'smol kol adam. V'im kosev biyamino. Ushar kol masav osa b'smolo. Tosfos case. Oh, kol sev b'smolo shar kol masav osa b'yamin. My son's case. Yesh omrim sheyaniach tefillin b'yad shetash koach debin on yad keha. Some say put on the yad keha. V'yesh omrim sheyad shekozev b'yichashu b'yamin l'nizeh o'miniach tefillin b'yad shekenegda. You put it on the non-writing hand. So it's yesh omrim v'yesh omrim. What's the rule whenever you have a yesh omrim v'yesh omrim? Second yesh omrim. When you have a stam in a yesh omrim, stam. When you have Yesh Omrim and a Yesh Misha Omer, the Yesh Omrim. So it's always, you always have to know the rules. Rav Avadia Yosef wrote up a whole list in the back of one of the volumes of Yechav Adas, a list of the Klalim of Maran, that when to know how to pass like. So if you hear Yesh Omrim, Yesh Omrim, so what are you supposed to pass like? The second one, which means whichever hand you don't write with. And just in case you're not sure that that's how you should really pass, says the Ramah, V'hachi Nahug. That's the minug, that our minug is to go with your non-writing hand. That's what the Ramah writes. Now, that would solve the problem if that's all that was written on the topic. The Aruch HaShulchan, however, and the Bir HaLacha, they all quote from the Gra, and the Bir HaGra, it's on the page of the Shulchan Aruch, who disagrees, and he says that Yad Keha is the Ikar Drasha, and it's not Tali B'Ksiva. So you should go with Rov Masa. What? Gra. So the Gra against the Ramah. So what do you do when it's the Gra against the Ramah? Bir Halacha? says that even though the Gra is cholik on the Ramah, Noag in Olam kishitas haRamah. The Minhag Olam is like the Ramah, forget about the Gra. I asked Rav Shechter what the Minhag Olam is. It was a confusing conversation because I was assuming that the Bir Halacha was correct, that the Minhag Olam is like the Ramah. And he kept on saying, like the Minhag Olam is, most assume the Minhag Olam is like the Gra. So he said, yeah, the Bir Halacha, yeah, but he wasn't really correct. He thinks the Minhag Olam is like the Ramah, the Minhag Olam is really like the Gra. So I don't know. And then the other Sefer, he says he quoted the Sefer Ma'asiv Kala Machnos, that Rov of the Achronim passed like the Gra against the Ramah. So now what? Now you have a Gra against the Ramah, you have the Bir Halacha telling you that the Minhag is like the Ramah, Rav Shechter telling you that the Minhag is like the Gra. So what are you supposed to do? So I asked around a little bit, and here's what I was told. I was told that people asked Rav Nevensal this question, and he said you should put on... What? What did you say? Yes. He said that you should put on both arms. Obviously, one bracha, I guess, for both arms. And he's not the only one that says that way. In the Sefer Chesed HaLafim, Simen Chav Zayin Sifhei, he also says both arms, but he has two possibilities of how to do it. One is one after the other. You put on the on the right, then the left, or left, then the right. And the other is to put them both on at the same time and just have Kavana, right, just like we said before with Makom Yesh Barosh and Yesh Shnei Tefillin, have Kavana that one is really your Tefillin and the other is Ritzuos Bialma. And that way you'll avoid Baltosif or whatever, just by having Kavana that the other one is Ritzuos Bialma. So that's, that's a tough thing to tell somebody. A kid is, writes with his left hand, does everything else with his right hand, you can tell him to run with both arms. Rav Shechter told me that really make radin we paskin like the gra, because that's haskamas rov haposkin, like the gra, not like the Bir Halacha thinks that haskamas rov haposkin is like the Ramah. So really, it's like the gra. Again, the gra is the one that was interested in yad keha, not in what you write with, which would mean that my son who writes with his left hand but does everything else with his right hand is a righty, and he should put tefillin on his left hand. Really, that's the din. And he says, that's what you should paskin. But he told me, I had this case a couple of years ago in my shul. Two boys are actually in Camp Kelly in the teen division. Both have this situation. They both daven in my shul. Both came up. They became bar mitzvah around the same time. And I asked Rav Shechter what to tell them. He said, the psak is like the gra. But if you think they're not going to look at you funny for saying it, maybe recommend that for a minute or two after davening, they should switch the shalyad to the other arm also to be yotze both shitos. I didn't try it. I thought they would look at me funny. I did not think they would go for that. So we just paskin like the gra. Then Rav Shechter told me that he heard from Rav Soloveitchik in the name of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, in the name of the Mishnah Yaakov, and I looked it up in Hebrew books. Mishnah Yaakov in Siman Lamed Daled says that there are three shitos in the Gemara. So you go with rov shitos. So what does that mean? There's the shita of you always go left, right? There's the shita of the non-writing hand, and there's the shita of the weaker hand. So you always go with rov shitos. So what does that mean? If a guy writes with his left hand, and he throws a ball with his right hand, so rov shitos would be to put it on his left hand. Because shita number one of just always put it on the left would say put it on the left. The shita that says his non-writing hand would say put it on the right. The shita that says go with his weaker hand would put it on the left, so he'd go left. But if a guy writes with his right hand, and does everything else with his left hand, right? It would also end up going on his left hand. Because rov shitos. The sheet that says left would say left. The sheet that says the non-writing hand would say left. And the sheet that says the weaker hand would say right. Two out of three. So that's what Rav Shechter told me that Rav Soloveitchik said. That you always go two out of three. Which would mean that, unlike the Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan Aruch says that if it's one way or the other, you have two deos, he splits it. That it depends which way it is. It depends whether you're right with the right and do everything else with the left, or the other way around. Well, that depends which way it is. Meaning you're always going to end up with it on the left hand if you have a split, right? You're always going to end up with it on the left hand if you... Right? Is that... You're always going to end up on the left if you have it... Right, if you have a split. Exactly. and not like it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, that's in terms of practical what the poskim say. I wanted to spend a few minutes going through what Rav Soloveitchik had to say about comparing this to Avoda. Just parenthetically, one more point. Rav Moshe in his Tshuva, Aruch Chaim Chayil Gimel Siman Beis, talks about a guy who was a lefty, and his father tried to teach him to be a righty, and he was able to learn to write with his right hand, but be'ikr he was still writing with his left hand as well. So Rav Moshe held that it's a svek sveka, that maybe everything is tali in what he writes with, and the Rama passes like that. And furthermore, there's machloks and Magen Avraham, if someone who trains himself, if that changes the halacha. So maybe it doesn't work to change the halacha. So Rav Moshe held it was a svek sveka. But okay, I want to get to just a few minutes on Rav Soloveitchik over here. There is a Gemara in Maseches Bechoros of Memheim Beis that says that a lefty cannot do the avoda. A lefty is possible to do the avoda. Why is a lefty possible to do the avoda? So the Rambam in the 8th paragraph of Bias Mikdash Halach Yiral says because he's a bal mum. A lefty has the din of a bal mum. Mimeli is not able to do the avoda. However, Shitas Rashi, certainly the way the other Rishonim explain Shitas Rashi is that it has nothing to do with being a bal mum. That a lefty can't do the avoda because he doesn't have a right hand. And you need to do the avoda b'yamin, you need to do the avoda with your right hand. A lefty doesn't have a right hand. So he has no hand with which to do the avoda. L'chora, that is very strange. Because while there is a machlokas about, in our Gemara, about how to determine what's the left hand and what's the right hand, everyone agrees that you have a right hand. Right? Exactly how to determine it. If you do everything with your left hand, so your left hand is your strong hand. So it's very strange that the Gemara would say, the way Rashi understands it, that when it comes to Avodah, a lefty simply doesn't have a right hand. What is going on? In order to answer that question, Rav Soloveitchik points out, it's helpful to learn the Ramban in Yevamos and Daf Kuf Dalet. The Ramban in Yevamos Daf Kuf Dalet, Dibra Maschum Mar, says that when the Gemara says a lefty puts the tefillin on his right arm, that's only if you darshan yad keha. But if you darshan yad chazu small, a lefty will put his tefillin on his left arm, which we've been assuming in our discussion all the time anyway. L'chora, says Rav Soloveitchik, there are two ways to be magdir. What emerges from that, from our Gemara, and certainly the Ramban elaborating the way we've been assuming the whole time, is that there are two ways to be magdir, what's called right and what's called left. What's yamin and what's small. One way of being magdir, what's yamin and what's small, is ruchos ha'olam, we'll call it. You know, nothing to do with you personally. Nothing to do with how you behave, how you, you know, what you're strong at. Just ruchos ha'olam, the directions of the world, the right is the right and the left is the left, that is the Tanakama. And the other way is based on your own strength, based on what's strong and what's weak, and that would be the other two shitas, Rabbi Nosson and Rav Ashi, each one with a slight different emphasis on what defines strength, but it's all about strength. And that's what the Ramban is saying, that according to the Man D'Amar, Yad Chazu small, everything is Ruchos Ha'olam. And if you say Yad Keya, it's based on what you're capable of doing. K'shartim K'saftim also, based on what you're capable of doing, L'chora. However, what still is unanswered is why would a lefty be possible to do the Avoda? Mimanafshach. If the Koveya is the Ruchos HaShemayim, so he should be allowed to do the Avoda with his right hand, because that's the Koveya. Right? If the Koveya of Avoda is, or by Tefillin, by anything, if you're a Paschal like the Tanakama, if you're a Tanakama Jew, that Yad Chazu small, so if you need to do Avoda with your right hand, Ruchos Ha'olam should determine you should do with the right hand, even if you're a lefty. If the Hagdara is what you're stronger at, then a lefty should be able to do avoda with his left hand. But nobody should hold that he can't do avoda at all. So Salvation explains as follows. that the din of smol betfilin and the din of yamin ba'avoda are two separate dinim that are based on different criteria. When it comes to tefillin, the geder is, what is it about your left hand? Your left hand's not doing the mitzvah. Your left hand is the cheftza shel mitzvah. In fact, ukshartem is being done by your right hand. So we view your left hand as a cheftza shel mitzvah. It's not a maisa. There's no maisa being done with your left hand. It's simply the cheftza shel mitzvah. And that certainly works, l'man d'yamar, that yad chazu smol. Why would you go with the ruchos ha'olam? Why would there be a havamina to go with the ruchos ha'olam when it comes to tefillin? Because it's not about a maisa that you do. It's about the cheftza shel mitzvah objectively being defined as the one that's on the left side of your body. As opposed to by avoda, the Gemara in Zvachin, Daf Chav Dalid, derives that you use your yamin from the pasuk v'lokach hakohen midah machatas be'etzpo, that it's a maisa lekicha, that whatever you would do a maisa with, your stronger hand in doing action, that is what you do avoda with. It's a din koach gavra, so you would therefore go with your stronger hand. Okay, but that didn't really answer anything. All that showed us is that by avoda, you should always use your stronger hand, and therefore even a lefty should use his stronger hand, his left hand. Whereas by tefillin, I see that there's room to argue that yadcha just means left, and maybe it goes with ruchos ha'olam, or maybe it doesn't. So by tefillin, there could be a machlokas. Where we are right now, by avoda, a lefty should use his left hand. But he then points to Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim in Tmidim Musaf in Parag Gimel, Halacha Dalit, writes that why is it that there's a din of chatzitza in avoda? Kohen can't wear gloves. Can't have a chatzitza between his yad and the kli, the kli sharis that he's using. And Reb Chaim says, because the din is that it's got to be, the avoda has to be ba'atzmuso shel kohen. Ba'atzmo shel kohen. That it has to be with the kohen himself. Which means that it sounds like, Rav Soloveitchik says, it sounds like that this isn't about what he's stronger at. This is about the cheftza shel mitzvah, so to speak, has to be his arm. Which arm? His right arm. Meaning ruchos ha'olam. Essentially what he's saying is that there are tzvei dinim in avoda. There's a din in avoda v'lokach, in the maisa, that you should do whatever you're better at doing the maisa with. And then there's a second din of avoda, that the cheftza shel mitzvah should be the kohen's right arm, in the ruchos ha'olam. If that's the case, when you have a left-handed kohen, he's stuck. Because he can't fulfill both. If he uses his left arm, yes, he'll fulfill the v'lakach, that he's doing what he's stronger at, but in terms of the atzmo shel kohen, what's supposed to be the cheftza shel mitzvah, which is supposed to be the right arm, you don't have that. You don't have the atzmo shel kohen. If he uses his right arm, he has the atzmo shel kohen. He has that, right? That's supposed to be the cheftza shel mitzvah, but he doesn't have the v'lakach. He doesn't have the kiyum of v'lakach. So that's why when it comes to tefillin, there could be a machlokas about in tefillin what the criteria is. Do we look at ruchos ha'olam or not? But by avod, it's not a machlokas. It's that you need both. It's that both are critical. And the lefty can't have both. He's only going to have one or the other. Memela, the lefty, is going to be pasul avoda.
Why is the right the chesed chos?
Because he assumes that the din of chatzitza teaches us that there's some objective, you know, atzmo shel kohen din, that it has to be done. I mean, it's not just your koach, because it's just being done just as much with your koach when there's a chatzitza also. But it must be that this is, no, the avoda has to be done with this. So he assumes that this is the right, that it's got to be the right hand. So that's the assumption.
Where does he get the chatzitza?
Well, that's explicit in the Gemara. The Rambam quotes in Tmidim Musafin. Where does the Gemara say it? In Zvachim somewhere. That's explicit in the Gemara.
Why does the Rambam call a Balamon?
Why does he call it a Baal Mum? I'm not sure. But that's what it is. So the whole conversation doesn't start, you know, according to that. You don't need any beer. All of this is to be Mevayer Shitas Rashi. Okay, I gotta go give the